بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 18th of June in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 89th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib And I'm on the subsection number 15, in which I'm now mentioning the reports where he's mentioned with his illustrious predecessors. So, in continuation, in Abu Dawood, number 4637, Ahmad in his Musnad 5-21, Tabarani, number 6965, Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, number 1141, and others. Sayyidina Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu, he relates that a man asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw in a vision as if a bucket was lowered from the sky. Abu Bakr radiyallahu came first. He took and drank a little from it. Then Umar radiyallahu came. He took it, he drank deeply from it. Then Uthman radiyallahu came. He took it and also drank deeply from it. Then Ali radiyallahu came. He took it, but it spilled over and some of it splashed upon him. So let's look at this. So it's recorded in Abu Dawud and Ahmad and Tabarani. And the Sahaba had a dream. And there's a bucket coming from the sky. And Abu Bakr drank a little from it. Umar and Uthman drank a lot from it. So this is in probably reference to the length of their khilafat. But when Ali took the bucket, it spilled. And some of it splashed upon him. So this seems to indicate that Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu's khalifat would be a most troubled one. So no, the companions were having dreams. And the dreams were indicating that Ali was going to have problems radiyallahu anhu. So he not only did not drink from it, it splashed over him. It is important to point out here that this narration has a weakness in the chain of transmission due to Abdul Rahman ibn Jurmi. So there's a slight weakness because there's a person who the scholars have questioned. Abdul Rahman ibn Jurmi, but it is confirmed by authentic reports. So I'll give you the reference at the end. Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, he once asked Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu to narrate to him something from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stop in the report. So the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they love to hear anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they'd ask each other, have you heard anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Even though they were eye and ear witnesses to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muawiyah asked a sahaba called Abu Bakr, not Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr. He embraced Islam from Taif, a late convert to Islam. He said, have you heard anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he said, yes. He said that once I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw in my dream a pair of scales descending from the sky. So note the previous report, a bucket. This was a scales that came from the sky. Thereupon you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu were weighed on the scales. And you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were heavier. Thereupon Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu were weighed. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu was heavier. Thereupon Umar and Uthman radiyallahu anhuma were weighed. And Umar radiyallahu anhu was heavier. Then the scales were raised up. The Holy Prophet was grieved by this. It saddened him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Khilafa Nubuwa, the successorship of prophethood. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give kingship to whomever he wills. So this is the report. So now, where is this recorded? In Abu Dawood, number 4634. Tirmidhi, number 2287. Hassan Sahih. Ahmad with three chains. Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nubu'ah, 6-342. Bazar in his Musnad, number 3652. Abu Dawood at-Tayalisi, number 866. Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-71, states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahabi, Sahih. Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Al-Musannaf, 11-60-61. Ibn Abi Asim in his As-Sunnah, number 1131-36. Tahawi in his Sharh Mushkil Al-Athar, number 3348. Sheikh Al-Arnaut, Rahmatullah Alayh, states Hassan in his checking of the Musnad, number 20,445. While Sheikh Al-Bani, Rahmatullah Alayh, stated Sahih in his checking of As-Sunnah, number 1131-3 and 1135-6. So what is the authenticity of this report? It's a Sahih Hadith recorded in Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Ahmad, and many other references. So let's look at this. So Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu asked Abu Bakr, have you heard anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he says, yes. And what did he say? I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I mentioned a dream to him. So a pair of scales comes down and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one side of the scales, Abu Bakr on the other. So now this shows the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because let alone a non-prophet, even a prophet can't compare to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for anybody just to have that honor, to be on one side of the scale with Rasulullah on one side, that's enough honor. And who was given that honor? Abu Bakr. But of course, Rasulullah was heavier, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abu Bakr and Umar on the scale, Abu Bakr is heavier. So this actually indicates, it's not talking about weight, it's talking about maqam. The scale is actually showing the maqam of a person. Umar is heavier than Uthman. Then the scale goes up. So if I was to ask you, is there anything unpleasant in this deal? I would say, you know, without thinking, there's nothing unpleasant. You know, everything seems exactly what needs to be, that we need to know. Rasulullah was grieved, meaning you missed something. He was grieved. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khilafah nabuwah. Meaning, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, their khilafah, you'll all agree to. Then he said, then there'll be kingship. And Allah Ta'ala will give it to whoever he wants. Now what's beautiful about this hadith? Who was asking Abu Bakr for hadith? Muawiyah. So Abu Bakr was basically telling him, it's you. You're that king. Because after Khilaf al-Nabuwa, it goes kingship, Allah Ta'ala will give it. Meaning, it's you. So now, why was our beloved messenger grieved? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grief of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was due to the fact that his cousin Ali was not mentioned, radiallahu, due to the fact that his would be a trouble khalifat. And also some of the companions will not give him pledge of allegiance. So he grieved him. Why? Because he was thinking, why didn't you see my cousin? You understand? So he was out of love, he grieved. And then he mentioned, this is the khilafat of Nabuwat. Subhanallah. So note, what's the order? All these reports. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. So this section is all about their blessed names. And never once is that order changed. You notice. Never once. Sign of Nabuwat. Subhanallah, there is also another amazing report in this area. So this is recorded in Abu Dawood, number 4656, with a Sahih chain of transmission. Sayyidina Al-Aqra, radiyallahu anhu. He was the muazzin of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He relates during the Khalif's 10-day stay in Jerusalem. So let's explain. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he's gone to the holy city of Jerusalem. He opens it with peace. It becomes part of the Islamic lands. The narrator of this hadith is the muazzin of Umar. He's sahaba. His name's Al-Aqra. So what did he say? Umar radiallahu anhu sent me, the Muazzin Al-Aqra radiallahu anhu, to the bishop, because it was a Christian land. He goes, bring me the big bishop, the primate. When the bishop arrived, Umar looked at him radiallahu anhu, and asked him, وَهَلْ تَجِدُنِي فِي الْكِتَابِ Do you find mention of me in the book? Am I mentioned in the book? So the bishop looked at Umar radiallahu. He goes, yes. So Umar radiallahu said, how do you find me described in the book? So the bishop said, I find you like a castle, like a fortress. So Umar raised his stick and said, what do you mean, fortress, castle? Explain yourself. He responded, a strong, safe castle. So Umar reflected upon this. And after registering, radiallahu, he asked, how do you find the one who will come after me? Is my successor mentioned in your book? So the bishop said, yes. I find him also to be a righteous khalif, but he will favor his relatives. So Umar radiallahu anhu listened. He goes, may Allah have mercy upon Uthman. May Allah have mercy upon Uthman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Uthman. So stop in the report. How did Umar know he was Uthman? The report continues. Then Umar radiallahu anhu asked, how do you find the one who will come after him, i.e. Uthman? So the bishop said, Ajiduhu sada'a hadid, like a rust on a sword. Rust on a sword. I, because of the sword being used a great deal. Umar radiallahu then put his hands on his head in grief. And he said, ya dafra, oh how stained, the bishop thereupon said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, he will also be a righteous khalif, but he will be appointed the khalif when the sword is unsheathed and the blood is being shed. Thus, he is blameless. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So first of all, where is it recorded? Is it Jakanori? It's recorded by Abu Dawood, and it says Sahih Hadith, meaning flawless, definitely happened. Now this puts into perspective how much the Christians know about our religion. Think about it. You know, when they say, oh, what do they know? You can say to them, well, you can play games with the masses, but we know what you know. So Umar taught us. He got to Jerusalem, he goes, bring me the big bishop. And what did he ask him? Am I mentioned? Imagine somebody goes, is Umar mentioned in the Bible? They'll go blue in the, oh, no, no, he's not mentioned at all. Well, you know better than the chief primate, Jerusalem. He goes, and look what he said. He goes, you're described as a fortress. Look how beautiful. What did the Prophet say? Yeah. He's a padlock to the fitna. No fitna can erupt. He's a fortress. He goes, and then Umar goes, what do you mean fortress? Explain. He goes, a safe, solid castle. So Umar knew. He goes, okay, I'm mentioned. Look at the status of Umar. Why is he mentioned in the Injil? Look at the love that Allah has got for him. He's not even born. 600 years after the Injil, he's going to be born. But Allah mentioned him in scripture. Maybe in the Old Testament, even further back. Then he says, what about the one who comes after me? Is he mentioned? Has he been honored to be mentioned? They even got Uthman's description. He goes, he will be a righteous khalif. And look how much they knew about him. But he will favor his relatives, meaning because of his kindness. And they were good people, which we've been through, his relatives, but people were using that now. They say, look, he's putting his cousins in authority. Obviously he was, but he, and then Umar straight away goes, may Allah have mercy on Uthman, meaning he's not to blame. May Allah have mercy, may Allah have mercy. Then he goes, is the next successor mentioned? Look what they know. He goes, yes. Ajiduhu sada'a hadid. He's described like a rust of a sword. So what causes a sword to rust? One is you're not using it. Or the other is you're using it so much that it's beginning to rust, so much blood. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he told us what it meant. He goes, ya dafra, ya, in other words, oh my God, my second success is going to cause bloodshed. And the bishop put him at rest. He goes, he's a righteous khalif. But he will be appointed the khalif when the sword is unsheathed and blood will be spilt, meaning he's blameless. The above words of the bishop came true to the very letter. which Umar confirmed, indicating again what? That the early radiyallahu anhu's khalifat was going to be a most troubled khalifat. Now think about it. You got the politics. We know you can... And think, why was there so much trouble? The simple answer you give is, it's written. It's written. It's not only written in the Quran, the Sunnah, it's in the previous scripture. It's mentioned in the previous scripture. But of course, we know what happened. Uthman was martyred. Ali was elected. Problems arose. But always bear in mind, this was in the divine decree. And he's blameless. Even the bishop said it. Because he's blameless. What could he do? He has to shed blood. Subhanallah, in addition, it is truly amazing how much the people of the book know. Not just about our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also his magnificent successes. May Allah Ta'ala guide him. Now what's shocking about this? Most of us are aware that the Bani Israel, the Jews, have got this knowledge. The Quran mentions them quite frequently. But when it comes to the Christians, everybody thinks, oh, they're Bajari. Oh, they don't know. You know, they're misguided. Was this person a rabbi or was he a bishop? Bishop. They are not Bajari. They've got, the Vaticans are full of treasures. Nobody has access to them. What are these treasures that nobody's got access to? And to be honest, you know, I'd go as far as to say there's probably Muslims amongst hiding their iman, but they haven't got the strength to come out. If the bishop knew all this, why would the bishop, think about this, why would he say to the Roman authorities, open the gate to a man whose description is like this? Why did he even bother saying that? He said, look, fight him. Because he was a man of, you know, scripture. Because you can't fight what God has promised. And he knew the description of him. When he saw Umar, he scanned him. He goes, open the gate, is him. We have to open the gate to this man. Look at the knowledge they've got. You know, subhanAllah. And then we have the, and the what's the irony is, let alone the Khilafah Rashidin, they've hidden the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, we say, have they got knowledge of the Prophet? You should burst out laughing. If they've got knowledge of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, you're asking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why these people are cursed. But they've been given this knowledge and they're hiding it, astaghfirullah. Now the Quran says for a paltry price, astaghfirullah. In continuation, it would be due to this trouble and unrest that Ali radiallahu anhu would move the capital of Islam from Al-Madinah to Iraq. Something to which our beloved messenger hinted to in a hadith. Think about that. So Ali radiallahu anhu, we're going to get to it if he's still alive inshallah. He moved the capital from Al-Madinah to Kufa, Iraq. I will explain why he did that. But even that move, Rasulullah hinted to it. Where? So Ali himself relates, he's the narrator, radiallahu anhu. Because I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for he married his daughter to me, brought me to the land of migration, and freed Bilal with his wealth. Subhanallah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Umar radiallahu anhu, for he speaks the truth, even if it is bitter, and this truthfulness has left him without friends. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Uthman, for the very angels are bashful of him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon Ali. Then look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma adirril haqqa ma'ahu haythu dar. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let the truth be with him wherever he goes, wherever he takes an abode. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So where is it recorded? In Tirmidhi number 3734 is Ghareeb. Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-120 states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahibi stated, Al-Mukhtar ibn Nafi at-Tamimi is in the chain and he is dejected. Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahmatullah alayh, in his At-Taqrib, number 6522, stated, Al-Mukhtar is weak. Ibn Asakir in his Arba'een, number 24, stated, Hassan Sahih. Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullah alayh, stated, Da'if, in his Ad-Da'ifah, number 2094, Da'if al-Jami, number 3095. Da'if Sunan al-Tirmidhi, number 767. And he's checking of Mishkat, number 6125. So let's look at the authenticity. So it's recorded in Tirmidhi, Hakim. Some scholars have graded it authentic. Imam Hakim ibn Asakir. Other scholars, they said no. There's a person in the chain. Al-Mukhtar ibn Nafi from Tamim. He is problematic. So because of him, there's a problem with the chain. So some scholars say da'if. Some say no, he's acceptable. Whatever the case, if you got acceptability by some of the muhaddithin, it's gearing more towards the authenticity, even though there's a weakness. So that's the authenticity. Let's look at the text now. So, what three things did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlight about Abu Bakr? Now think about that. There was wisdom why he did that. Because he married his daughter to me. Now think about that. Would we consider that one of the great virtues of Abu Bakr? It's maybe one of the great virtues of Abu Bakr. Because his daughter married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet told you that. Meaning this is something amazing. The only virgin he married, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second thing he mentioned, he brought me to the land of migration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel told him, Allah Ta'ala has chosen Abu Bakr to be your sole companion on this hijrah. Allah Ta'ala has chosen. He goes, he brought me, and if you look at how he looked after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took him from Makkah to Al-Madina, unbelievable. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he freed Bilal with his wealth. Meaning you might not understand how great that deed was. But this is unbelievable. And he goes, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. Meaning I've made dua for him. Meaning who can reject this? I've made dua for him. Then he turns to Umar. And what is the only thing he mentions about Umar? One thing. He speaks the truth. He's not bothered whether you like it or not. Has left him without, meaning those who, you know, they find it difficult to be in his presence. May Allah have mercy on him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the only one thing he mentioned about Uthman? The angels are shy of him. Now what's interesting? Three things for Abu Bakr. One for Umar, one for Uthman. So even the way the Prophet is describing it, he's telling you something. Then, now what's interesting? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't mention no virtue of any. Think about that. Look at the list we've been going through. Not one. All he said was this. May Allah have mercy upon Ali. Allahumma adirril haqqa ma'ahu haythu dar. Oh Allah, let the truth be with him wherever he takes an abode, wherever he moves and he stays, take the truth with him. So what's amazing? That's the one thing the Prophet made a dua for, meaning no matter where he goes. Now where did he go? Kufa. So people find this strange because Kufa of all the places, Kufa. Kufa only went downhill when Ali, you know, after Ali radiallahu, they were, you know, problematic during the end of Uthman's Khalifa, then he went down, but when it was formed and based, it was fine. But eventually it started deteriorating. But why did Ali go there? People question this. Because it's not going to affect him. Why? Because Rasulullah made a dua. Oh Allah, let the truth be with him wherever he goes. He can go to the most worst place. Allah Ta'ala will still give him the truth. Subhanallah. Though this hadith has a weak chain of transmission, everything mentioned within it is confirmed through flawless reports. So look how interesting. I mentioned the authenticity. Somebody goes, well, there's a weak narrator. Every part of it you can confirm from Sahih hadiths. That means it's very dangerous to reject weak hadiths. Subhanallah, thus note that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never change the order, never, when mentioning these four elite souls. Another sign of Nabu. Think about it. You know, okay, we got all these beautiful things the Prophet mentioned. But what we sometimes fail to register is, why did he never change the order? Because you would have got confused. You would have thought, oh, Umar, I believe he should be the first. Because didn't the Prophet mention him first? Look how the Prophet was protecting the Ummah. Protecting the Sahaba. He goes, never was, Umar, nobody was mentioned after Abu Bakr. Always Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Always. As if Allah Ta'ala was telling you, look, even though he's not spelling it out, you can work it out. And guess what? They worked it out, mashallah. Indeed, the narrations go on and on. You mentioned one more. In Ibn al-Najjar, Imam Suyuti, in his Al-Ghurad fi Fada'il Umar, radiyallahu number 6, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhu, are like the eyes of my head. Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu anhu, is like the tongue in my mouth. And Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu anhu, is like the soul within my body. Allahu Akbar. Look at these beautiful hadiths. Note again, what's the order? You know, if you think about it, how misguided are the Rawafid? It's like, I'm not being funny, brother, but every time it's the same order. Well, let's look what the Prophet ﷺ said. How did he describe the two sheikhs? Because they're like my eyes. How priceless are the eyes of Rasulullah? Priceless. You can't even put a price to it. My eyes sleep, but my heart doesn't. Right? His eyesight is priceless. Abu Bakr and Umar, because of my eyesight. You take them out of your deen, look how crippled your deen becomes. Uthman, he said, radiyallahu anhu, is like the tongue in my mouth. How pure was the Holy Prophet's tongue? Going back to the previous report, my eyes sleep, my heart doesn't. Why? Because he's 24/7 doing zikr. He never once stopped doing zikr. What do you do zikr with? Your heart and your tongue. The tongue of Rasulullah is like Uthman, radiyallahu anhu. You take somebody's tongue away, you know, you don't want to say anything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A normal person without a tongue is dumb. Then look at Ali. Allahu Akbar. Because Ali is like the soul in my body. Meaning, when the soul leaves the body, person's dead. But why did he mention him forth? So you don't misunderstand. He goes, they're so beloved to me. I'm likening them to my body parts. And if you look into the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions so many body parts of the Prophet. He mentions his eyes. He mentions his head. He mentions his tongue. He mentions his ears. He mentions his feet. He mentions his hands. And the scholars say, deliberate Allah Ta'ala is doing that. He loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning everything about him. And here the Prophet is now likening his own body parts, which Allah Ta'ala loves so much, mentioned in the Quran, to the Khilafah al-Rashidin. And that's why we are so fortunate, because we don't have anything but love for all of them. You know, somebody goes to you, I've got a problem with Abu Bakr and Umar. You're blind, brother. Literally, you're blind. I've got a problem with Umar. You're dumb. I don't think anybody's got a problem with Ali apart from the Khawarij. You're dead. Right? SubhanAllah. Thus, note how instrumental these magnificent souls were in giving essential aid to our beloved Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned again today was hadiths mentioning the blessed four. And note the order never changes. But so much we can take been going through the lives of these illustrious and exalted souls. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanar rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam